Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jacobin. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Take your Bibles and be turning to the book of 1 Peter. We're going to be back after we were out of 1 Peter last week. We're back there this week. We've been working through, if you're a guest today or haven't been a while, we've been working through the book of 1 Peter, looking at our enduring hope. Enduring hope, even in the midst of suffering. And today, really just going to look at two verses because of our limited time. And I want to bring you a message I've entitled, A Living Witness. You know, there's something that has puzzled secular historians for many years, and that is why the first century church, the first century Christian church, grew so rapidly, grew in numbers, and grew in influence, while other religious groups, and there were others, even some of them very zealous, they were called the zealots. Other religious groups did not grow in authority or in size like the Christians, even in the midst of great persecution, the persecutions that the Christians were enduring, they still were growing. Now, notice I said secular historians because as believers, we understand the power of God's Spirit working through the church and working in the church. But one secular historian said that the best way they can determine why the influence grew was through the lives that the Christians led. Even in the midst of persecution, they would be joyful. They would sing hymns even in prison. They would sing hymns even as some were martyred for the faith. It's as if they were part of the world in presence, but we're part of a different world in essence. Well, we understand exactly what is taking place there. We say it this way, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Well, I want us to look today and see these verses, because very practically, Peter is telling believers, after he's talked about who we are in Christ, how do we live out our faith? How can we be living witnesses? And for us today, in a world that, while it may not be like others around the world, I think we see a growing tendency to be against the church, to be against faith, where we can see a world that is becoming more hostile to our beliefs as Christians. So how do we live out our faith in such a world? I'm going to begin in verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And here's what we want to answer today. We're going to answer the question in just a few moments. What does it mean to be a people of God in a hostile world? How do we do that? Verse 11, Peter says, "Dear friends." Now, I asked the question, right, the first time I read this, why does he say that? Why does he say, "dear friends"? I think he wants them to understand that there's something hard coming. There's something that's going to be difficult. I want you to understand this. But I think even more, I think he wanted them to understand, even writing with apostolic authority, he wanted them to understand that he was right there with them. He was not telling them something that he did not have to deal with. So he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as strangers and exiles," really synonyms there, reminding them, some of them had been physically displaced, but really reminding all of us that this is not our home. "I urge you as strangers and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day of his visitation." I want to look at two areas of our lives that we've got to be cognizant of, that we've got to understand what's going on if we're going to be living witnesses that are testimonies for Christ. The first point is this: being a living witness begins with a battle that is waged in the inner man. A battle that takes place with every one of us on the inside. Matter of fact, he's going to talk about the inner man and the outer man. Well, this internal battle is really a battle for control. Who is going to control my life? Now, I'm a fallen man. I have a sin nature. So if I control my life, there's always going to be that propensity to want to please myself, to want to do things that I think will bring me happiness and bring me joy, even if I know that that's not what God would have me do. The alternative to that is to live a life that's yielded to the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit dwelling within us, so the Spirit desires that we live a life that's yielded to Him, but we have to make that conscious decision every day. I'm going to, in this battle that's going on internally, one way I'm pulled is to please myself. Another way I'm pulled is to please and honor God. Which way will I go? Where will I yield my life? How does he word it? He says, I urge you to abstain from sinful desires. Now, your Bible may say from fleshly lust. Both are accurate translations. I think sometimes when we think fleshly lust, we're talking about things that are sexual in nature, and that's certainly part of this, but that's not all of this. It's anything that we would have in our lives, any decision, any activity, any thought that does not bring honor and glory to God. It's not a yielded life. Again, it's something we think will bring us happiness. That's anything that we have in our life. We have to say, you know what? I'm going to make every effort I can through the help of God's Spirit to push that away, not to yield to that desire, but to be yielded to the Spirit. And here's the thing. We've got to understand that it's a war, and it's a war that we will, as humans, we'll have our entire lives. See, sometimes there are young people here, and maybe you're thinking, you know, one day I'll be old, and I won't have to worry about this. You think one day, I mean, I think sometimes one day I'll be as old as Will Gatling and I won't have to. Let me tell you something. There never comes a time in our age where we don't have to say, I've got to yield to the Spirit of God. There were always going to be those desires that we have being fallen that will tend to pull us away in our relationship with Christ. So we must consciously every day make that decision. Well, what is our plan? What's the plan of battle? He says, you know, these things wage war against the soul. So what is our plan to where we can daily yield to the Spirit? Well, I wrote down several things. You may add to them. The first thing I wrote down is we have to understand that we are in a battle. We call it spiritual warfare. See, sometimes we go through life and we don't understand that the Christian life is a fight. That it's a battle that's waging every day. A battle for our affections. A battle for our desires. But so often, if we don't even understand we're in the battle, we're going to be quickly subdued or quickly fall into the fray, or either fall into the trap that is often set before us. But here's the key. We've got the Spirit of God helping us. God doesn't ask us to fight this battle alone. We've got the Spirit of God dwelling within us to help us in the fight. You know, if you've ever coached athletics, you know there are times when you understand your team thinks they're so much better than the other team that it's just going to be a cakewalk, we call it. It's not going to be a fight at all, but all of a sudden you get to halftime, and it's still a tight game, and you're looking at your team saying, guys, I told you, this is going to be a battle. We're going to have to play. That's what we've got to understand as believers, that the Christian life is a battle against the sinful desires that we have or the way Satan wants to tempt us, and a life that is yielded to Christ. The second thing I wrote down was the Word of God. We need to be ingesting the Word of God. Folks, you can hear the Word of God. You can read the Word of God. You can turn in your car the Word of God. There is not a limit of ways that we can be saturated with the Word of God. We need to be memorizing the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is powerful and it's strong, and it will help us when we're going through temptation. You know, I really pray that our idea is not, I'll go home today, I'll go in from the restaurant or wherever, and I lay it down, and I know where it'll be next Sunday morning when I leave to go back to church. I pray that we're in it, that we're studying it, that we're being enriched by it. Next, I wrote down prayer, that time in which we're just praying, asking God. I also wrote down fasting there. We don't talk a lot about fasting. What is fasting? Well, primarily we see it as fasting from food, but it could be fasting from, you know, some people do social media fast. Some people do internet fast, and they just say, you know, the time that I would be committing to that, I'm going to commit to prayer and to the Word of God. But in praying, it's just asking God to help me. It's putting ourselves in a position of humility, saying, God, I have these sinful desires. God, I have these things that are waging war, and God, I need your help. I need your strength. The next I put, protecting my eyes and my ears. Protecting what I allow my eyes to see and what I allow my ears to hear, that I'm not leading myself into temptation. And then the last one I wrote down, I wrote down godly fellowship. Godly fellowship. I love being around you bunch of weird people. I do. I need that. You know, this past weekend, we had a football reunion at North Carolina State, and I was there on Friday, and I don't know how to describe it. Let's just put it like this. It doesn't look like prayer meeting. Let's put it that way. You know what? I love there are guys there that just like me, they weren't always walking with Christ. But boy, in the 30 years since we last played, man, God's done a miracle work in our lives. And now when we gather, man, we can still enjoy and we can still laugh. Larry Dodd and Miller Lawson and Alex Nicholson that was in the first service, I can gather with these guys. And man, we're there. And we understand what it means to be a witness. But man, we're encouraging one another to, even in places where we're not seeing the name of Christ proclaimed, boy, we can be witnesses for Christ. So what is it? What does it take to have that yielded life? I tell you, it's a life of purpose. You know, we don't usually just slip into a godly life. It takes dedication. It takes discipline. It's understanding that war that is waging and us yielding to the Spirit. Well, then what can that do? The second point, it translates into a life, a lifestyle that pleases God and makes Him known. See, a yielded life can be a powerful witness. Let me just tell you this, the world is watching. The world is watching us. Look, verse 12. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles. And there, he's talking about the lost world. Now here, as he is speaking out to these exiles, there are both Jews and Greeks, Jews and Gentiles, that are part of the first century church. So here he's using this as those who aren't part of the faith. Those are outside of the body of Christ. He says, conduct yourselves honorably among them so that when they slander you as evildoers, they will observe your good works and will glorify God on the day he visits or the day of his visitation. Well, what does it mean? It means that there is a lost world when people know that we are believers. Well, there's a lost world that is watching us. You know, they see us endure the same cancers that they endure. They see us have problems within our family or within our jobs just like they do. But they see a joy that we have. They see the testimony that we can share even when we're troubled. Just like the secular historians noticed about the early church. They see that there is something different and it intrigues them. And we may never know that, but even the Spirit of God is using that as he is drawing them. See, the Scottish pastor Alexander McLaren said, the world takes its notions of God from the people of God. The world takes its notions about God, who God is, from the people of God. You know, I had to wonder if, as Peter was writing this, if he thought back to an event that happened between he and the Apostle Paul. It's recorded in Galatians chapter 2. And the event it's described is that Peter is with the Jews and the Gentiles. And he is fellowshipping. He is with them. He's breaking bread with the Gentiles. But then James sends a group of Jews from Jerusalem kind of to check on things. And Peter becomes afraid, well, this may be offensive, so all of a sudden, he withdraws from the Gentiles. The Gentile, where's Peter? Man, is he going to teach us today? Is he going to break bread with us today? Man, he can't be found. It's like all of a sudden, we're on the outside now looking in. Well, Paul's watching this. And Paul understands how hypocrisy can tear down the gospel message. So Paul says, he writes this, I confronted Peter to his face. Well, that's strong language. But he knew, he said, man, you're hurting the gospel witness in the way that you're living your life. We've got to ask ourselves, are there ways that we're living our lives that's hurting our gospel witness? It starts with that inward battle. But then that translates into how we live. You know, this past week, I was eating with a colleague, and we were in a restaurant. And, boy, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I joked. I don't know what this young lady was called to do. I don't think it was to be a waitress. That's all I'm going to say. Everything was slow and it wasn't prepared right. We got the wrong food. And I'll just tell you, I was already frustrated. Everything within me wanted to just blast her. I mean, I didn't say any cuss words, but I thought two or three while I'm eating. I'll just, full confession. I was just frustrated, and everything within me wanted just to blast her. But I didn't. I just, you know what, is it really going to matter if I eat this versus that? Probably not. So I just, you know, I said, you know, well, I'd ordered this, but that's okay. That's all right. So then I get the bill. And I think, now I'm going to get her where it hurts. Tip, get a new job. That's what I thought. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So I tipped well. And when I was leaving, and I wondered if it was a test. Maybe she was saying, I don't know. But she said, aren't you the pastor at Bayleaf? Woo. said, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. But let me tell you what, it started with the inner soul. It was in the inner self. You pastor somewhere long enough, just people kind of know. And boy, you know, at that time I was so thankful that I just didn't blast her. So thankful, because then I'd have to say no. I get that. I look like him, okay? But I get that. But see, we can either be a good witness or a bad witness, but we're going to be a witness. Because I want you to see how it ends. It's almost confusing how it ends. But I told you that the world is watching. It says this. It says, they're going to slander you as evildoers. But then it says, at the day of visitation, and that really goes, but that's throughout the Old Testament. That's really God's visiting, either in a way of blessing or a way of judgment. Primarily, you see it in a way of judgment. But it says, on that day of judgment, what does it say? They have seen your good works, and they will glorify God. So what happens? See, even though they once may have said they ridiculed you, they thought you were silly because of your beliefs, they didn't understand them, they said, why can't you just go along to get along? Why do you profess Christ? But I told you they're watching our lives. And when you're a living witness, God's using that. The Spirit of God uses not only our spoken witness, but the witness of our lives. And that can just be one of those things that the Spirit of God uses to draw a person into the family of God. You know, that person says again, I see your life and it's different. I see a peace and a joy and I want that in my life. I want to have what you have. And we may never see it. This side of heaven, we may never know it. But he's saying in the day of judgment, they will give thanks. They will glorify God. And we had an opportunity to be part of what God used to draw that person unto himself. So just, I would say this as we close. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Wake up every day understanding there's a battle. Yielding your life to the Spirit and then going out and both verbally and in your actions say, I'm going to be a living witness for God. And let God be glorified through my words, my deeds, and my actions. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries of Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.